Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Everybody, happy new year to all of you, and hello there in Delmarva Radio. It is January 2nd, 2021, so happy new year, everybody. And of course, today is another past moment for you guys. We got a special treat for you, we got a special show for sure. Well, first off, we want to thank you guys for joining us this morning, joining our family. And we hope that all of you had a wonderful and safe new year, first of all. But don't forget, guys, you can always contact the show here by going to yourweeklydose.com. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1. And, of course, you can always find us on Facebook, too, or email us if you want to say something to us at yourweeklydose1 at gmail.com. And don't forget, not only can you download the show for free from our own website, but you can also subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeartRadio, and, of course, Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and, of course, most importantly, don't forget to rate and review the show itself. Of course, today's theme song, I think, is a little bit apropos for it. It is REO Speedwagon's Roll with the Changes, because, boy, we got some big changes coming up. It's a new year. We've got a new president. And we have a vaccine for COVID. So we want to keep things positive and looking up and bright. And, of course, as always, you can buy any of REO Speedwagon's music from our biggest sponsor, which is Amazon.com. Just go to our website, click on the banner, and bookmark it. That way, every time you shop on Amazon, you help us stay on the air. And we come back next week, guys, live. Man, what a fun show that's going to be, because it's going to be our 200th show. Who thought we would last this long? Not us, I'll tell you that right now. Well, today's show, we're going to go back to June of this year, of last year, when we had the great Kelly Gates call in and join us. And boy, what a wonderful conversation we had with Kelly. And then all of a sudden, the show just made a left turn, because also from the Mark and Brian program, Tito Benavides called Kelly in the middle of her interview. We were able to help Kelly merge the phone call, actually call Tito back and merge the two phone calls. And we were able to talk to Tito also and have a whole bunch of fun with Tito and Kelly. And some secrets even got revealed between the two of them. So what fun was that, huh? All right, guys. Well, here we go. We hope that everybody starts off the new year with good things, first of all. I'm sure a lot of you made those resolutions that we're probably going to drop within 2 weeks. But when we come back, we'll talk all about that and a whole lot more. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of this song from REO Speedwagon. Keep on rolling, rolling with the changes, and enjoy our past moment with Kelly Gates and Tito Benavides. Well, you know what? Today's guest is no stranger to Los Angeles, and of course, Los Angeles knows her voice very well. She had a tough job of filling the shoes of the great Chuck Moshantz. Chuck was not only a legend on KLOS, but was also a major part of the Mark and Brian family. And the question was, could she fit in? Well, not only did our guest fit in, she fit in with her own grace and style and weaved her own fabric into the Mark and Brian family and stayed with the boys to the very end. And oh, what an end it was. So please welcome to the show a legend in her own right, one of the sexiest ladies in radio.
Wow! Forgot to turn it off.
Wow!
I meant to do this.
That's my noise. Was
that? I'm ready to say her name, and you let that one go.
Wow. You just let it fly.
So, the
He's
great
not even blushing.
Kelly Gates.
Kelly!
Wow. That had everything, that introduction. Dang.
Oh, my.
Brian, the kitchen sink.
Brian would have laughed.
Yes, he would have. He likes those types of things.
Oh, my gosh. That was awesome. Well, first of all, Kelly, how are you?
Hey, I'm fine. I'm good. I'm in Kentucky. I never thought I'd come back to home, but it's been a beautiful thing.
Awesome.
Getting
awesome.
To know my family all over again.
That's wonderful.
Oh, I hear that little bit of a draw. You're getting that little teeny tiny.
Just
little.
I think I always had it. You know, it just kind of went away a little bit. Yeah, but no, I haven't gotten to you all yet. But I do say hun all the time.
Oh
now,
yeah.
You know,
hun and darling.
Okay, hun. Wow. And I'll say it to my boss. I'll be like, okay, thank you, hon. And I'm like, oh my God, wait, I'm sorry.
It's a Southern thing.
Yeah, it is. It's very true. It definitely is. Well, first of all, Kelly, thank you for coming on, and we really appreciate it. You know, we like to have every now and then we love to have past Mark and Brian family members on to kind of go back and refresh everybody where they came from, of course, and discuss Mark and Brian, and of course. But before we kind of dive in with everything, how have you been with this whole COVID thing yourself and dealing with that?
Well, it was funny. I was out in California visiting my boyfriend, and right before it all went to hell, you know what I mean? Like when everything started to shut down. So, so when I got back, they were like, oh, you got to quarantine, you know? So I had to do my show from home for about a month or so and take the test and do that whole thing, which is it's a delight. I don't know if you've ever had that. If you've had that test done or not, but boy, oh boy, up your nose with so anyway, I did my show from home and it was a different experience and everything, but you know, I'm doing fine now. I'm going into the station and you know, it's a balancing act every morning, kind of like, how much do you talk about it? How much humor do you bring into it? How much do you not talk about it? You know, there's always those decision makings going on every morning. And I admit, you know, when it first started breaking, I was like, oh, right. You know, before it all went crazy, but I'd be like, oh, you know, masks and porn. That's the new thing. You know? The new trend, you know, but I never saw it really, you know, hitting like it did.
Yeah, when we talked to Brian a couple of weeks ago, he goes, yep, he goes, I've seen everything on Netflix and Pornhub.
Yeah.
Yep. I was remember going, oh, hazmat suits and porno. That's like the new trend. But this is, again, before we all got the orders to stay home. So I was kind of like, you know, having fun with COVID-19. And little did I know what would end up happening.
Right. Well, Kelly, let's go back to the beginning for you. How does a gal who grows up in Dearborn, Michigan, end up going to college in Kentucky to pursue a radio career?
Oh, boy, you've done your research. Dearborn people hated Dearborn Heights people. We couldn't go to their pools or anything. My parents, my mom's grew up in Kentucky, and her mom and dad had gotten very ill, and so when I was in 11th grade, my dad retired from GM, and it was like, we're moving to Kentucky, and we're going to get you an in-ground pool. That'll make everything better.
Wow.
Like, oh my God, my life's over is what I thought, but it really wasn't.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to EKU, Eastern Kentucky University, and they had a great broadcasting department, and I was able to get on the air in Lexington, Kentucky at a really young age, and do a morning show. They wanted me to pretend I was 30, but I was only 18 at the time. And they put me up on billboards with wrinkles on my face, and people would call up and go, you've got a sexy voice, but you're a dog.
That's why you're in radio.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, one day I just broke. I'm like, I'm only 18. Shut up. Or 19 or whatever it was. I'm 20. Yeah, I'm very young. So, I guess it was 19 when I got on that morning show. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's what happened. And then,
what intrigued you about radio to go into that industry though?
Just music. I mean, live, breathe music, and for Father's Day, I'll just say to you, my dad would always say to me, I would say to him like, oh, that's Robert Plant is the lead singer of that band, and that's from their fourth album called blah, 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 Zeppelin 4.
Uh-huh.
And he'd be like, learn something that's going to get you somewhere one day. Be a secretary, he'd always tell me. Why can't you just be a secretary? And they didn't quite understand that radio could be a job,
Right.
But just music, just love of music, knowing everything about music, wanting to talk about music, play it for people, expose it to people. So that was really why I got into it.
Did you have any influences while you were in school?
Well, they told me when I moved to Kentucky, the woman there was from Michigan, too, and she told me I was the female Arthur P. And if anybody knows anything about Detroit radio and WRIF, he was like the most famous guy. And, WRIF, baby. And he'd just do that kind of thing. And I would say just rock and roll radio in Detroit, really, growing up. There were four major stations. All playing rock and roll, remember them all playing Billy Squire in the dark at the same time one night. I was scanning the dial. So, you were at the very same time. You were just immersed in rock in Detroit. And I'd say that was an influence.
Very cool. Being a woman going into radio, because, of course, at that point in time, I think it was very male dominant. Was it tough for you or was it fairly easy? And how did they treat you?
Oh, do I have stories?
Tell.
I want to hear everything.
Do tell. Don't leave out the details.
We don't have time for all of it. But, really, to be honest with you, my first major, I'd say the first guy I ever did a morning show with, I realize now what a gentleman he was. Okay, let me just say that. When I was 19 and I joined him, I just thought he was a big buffoon and a big doofus and whatever. But then as I went on and I met real buffoons and doofuses, along the way, I respected him so much. I mean, I had sexual harassment. I had a program director hire me or a owner hire me just because he wanted to get it on with me and, would
right.
come knocking at my door or the hotel room they put me up in Columbus, Ohio. And it's 1991 and be like, the only reason I hired you is because I thought we would make a fabulous couple. I'm like, oh, my God. So then but then I proved myself. I was able to keep going and I had a morning show host in Toledo that, fired for sexual harassment. Anyway, it's been, I don't want to get negative. It has been something, but I will say Mark and Brian, we had our moments, but man, they were always, very respectful. And, I always appreciated that a lot, and they let the female shine on that show. You had to hold your own. You had to kind of, come on guys, that kind of thing. But I think in the end they respected that and allowed for that.
Right.
And I think that's why women actually liked me. And I don't mean that in a weird way, but it's a very big compliment when women like you because you're not too ditzy, but you're standing up as well and you're saying kind of the truth, but you don't let them knock you down, So it was an interesting role to play.
It's a balance, basically, is what it is.
It's funny. Women are sometimes the hardest to please.
Very, yes.
It's interesting because we're supposed to be on the same team, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Going through all those experiences, though, Kelly, was it hard to be taken seriously, though?
Well, I think I really just had, I really was good at picking music and picking what was going to be big next. And so I was in a position a couple of times before Mark and Brian to be in a programming director place where, and you can look, I swear the research is there. I was the very first person to play Nirvana in the United States because I'd heard it in Canada.
Wow.
And, you know, I heard it and I played it and the record label called and told me, don't play it. We have a rollout for this. I'm like, you know, I broke those kind of like, you know, I didn't play along very well, I will say, with their strategies, the record labels. But I'm like, if I knew something was great, I had to get behind it. And I got behind bands that ended up being, it really blew up. And, you know, I was always such a believer in music and bands and record label people started to respect me. Mm-hmm. And awesome. That had its own merit, I guess. And you don't get paid as much as the guy. Let's just say that. You just don't. I mean, right. I admire Howard Stern, and Brian would probably hate me saying that name, but I admire him so much for the way he's treated Robin and the way he's, you know, stood up for her and brought her along the whole time. Like, you know, he really saw something in her and he rewarded her, you know, and she's been good to him. And it's, anyway, I love that relationship in radio.
Yeah, because I mean, they've been together for what, 30 years now, I think?
No, longer than that.
Longer than that.
Wow.
And he was ordered to get rid of her, you know, a couple of times, and he would bring her back, you know, and I've always loved that about him.
You know, technically, it's been 40 years because he got her in like 1980, 1981.
Yeah.
You didn't get her. Well, he hired her.
See, there you go. So okay. That's the female perspective.
At least I didn't say get with her. He hired her. Okay, Amber.
But no, it's very true. And you have to give Howard, I think, that respect. Because, I mean, they're still together till this day, you know. And I think he couldn't do anything without Robin, you know, to keep him in line or whatever, you know, for that show. There's that balance of in the relationship together that works. It does work very, very well on the radio for them. So, yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree. Go ahead, Kelly. Yes.
Oh, no, I was going to say, now I'm doing a show all by myself in Lexington, a morning show. And, you know, it's been a challenge after being with so many people and bantering on the air and having, producer Ted come up with so many great things and, you know, have people answer your phones and have Danny back there and Tito at the time doing the editing and playing stuff. I mean, you know, I just have to turn on my microphone, really, you know. So now it's a whole different animal. But I learned so much from that Mark and Brian experience. I do believe that I've taken to doing a morning show now by myself that I do. I'm very thankful for. Kind of like you don't have to just talk about rock radio because you're on a rock radio station. You know what I mean? People are interested in lots of different things, you know, and how they would bounce around from topic to topic. And, you know, I think one of the things I learned from them, too, is finding a sound bite that was really, really silly or funny, but then just playing it over and over again and letting it become almost a popular, you know, having people request that sound bite. You know what I mean? Like a year later, you know, I never thought a hot dog could hurt so bad. You know what I mean? Like little things like, you know, I found that in my little show prep, and I'll just play that, you know, a bunch. And they taught me about, you know, just taking something, you know, that, you know, is funny and letting the audience, not convincing them, but then they get the joke too. You know what I mean? Right. As long as you're having a good time, then they kind of come along with you.
Well, you know, that was one question I wanted to ask you later on, but since you brought it up right now, what do you think was harder, being with Mark and Brian in that type of ensemble thing or doing what you're doing now, hosting your own morning radio show?
Oh, there's different things. I mean, you know, in all honesty, depending on who was the program director at the time with Mark and Brian or what day it was, I mean, sometimes I'd get in trouble for talking too much. Then the next day I'd get in trouble for not talking enough. The next day I'd get in trouble for laughing too much or cutting off a joke when I didn't know the joke was coming. You know what I mean? Like there was a lot of, I'd call them landmines. Like I just didn't see, that I was going to get, you know, under the radar for that or fight, you know, everybody, you know, get somebody worked up because of something that he didn't see coming. So that was tough. That was a balancing act. You know what I mean? You always had to be watching them and, or listening to them when they started doing their shows from different locations. You know, then I had to really make sure not to step on Mark's toes. And then Brian would look at me for a lot more kind of like, you know, reinforcement with laughter and
right.
eye contact. And, you know, there was a lot of, do I step in here? Do I talk now? Do I not talk? You know, so a lot of that every morning was kind of a challenge. And some mornings you thought you were great, and then you'd be getting in trouble for something. And the next morning you say something you think you shouldn't have, and like, oh, it's great. You know, you're like, oh, my God, I got it. Like, I don't know. You know, at least now I'm kind of the master of my own domain, as
right.
they say.
So basically it was more or less kind of like damned if you do, damned if you don't mm-hmm. kind of a thing then.
I like the landmine. That was a good analogy for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the way I always said it. And I'm not going to say it was bad, but I'm just saying, it's, you know, all those years with them, you know, I'd say things that you just didn't even know were going to maybe be annoying or at the wrong time. But overall, you know, it was pretty smooth sailing. I'm just saying that if you're comparing, you know, that was the thing there of just kind of not knowing a lot. Whereas here, I know what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say, what I'm going to edit in, edit out, you know, all that kind of thing.
Right.
But it's tougher.
Yeah. Backing up a little bit with you, Kelly. You started to work at different radio stations, like you mentioned earlier, and everything. What was the biggest accomplishment that you felt you got from working with those different radio stations?
Oh, they all definitely had their different merits. I mean, just in Columbus, Ohio, 1991, that was when alternative was just really starting to bustle. I mean, I had, you know, the Smashing Pumpkins sleep on my living room floor. You know what I mean?
Like, oh,
it was like,
gosh,
you know, it was like kind of day where you were begging. I'll never forget having Flea on the radio. We were begging people, begging them to buy tickets that night for Red Hot Chili Peppers, Pearl Jam, and Smashing Pumpkins. It was a triple bill.
Wow.
And we were going, please, you know, and Flea was hysterical. And it was basically, yeah, begging people to come out that night to see those three bands on one bill. So just kind of like being there at that time and helping bands break and blossom, and you know, which, that was really exciting,
which really doesn't happen anymore with radio at all.
Mm-mm. It does not. And you know, so I still try to find ways to, like, listen, I work at a classic rock station, and you know, if Lynyrd Skynyrd is going to work hard enough, or Bad Company or whatever, to come up with a new album, I'm not, you know, maybe it's not going to go into heavy rotation, but I'm going to find a way to let people know, because we use them every day.
Right.
You know, we use their music to survive and to get revenue. So why would I ignore them when they're the crux and the backbone of what we do? So, and if they're still passionate enough to put out new music, I should at least expose it, play it, talk about it, interview the band. You know what I mean? I do a lot of interviews still. Anybody who wants to talk to me, the drummer of Styx put out a solo record. You know what? I'm going to give you some airtime. I mean, you know, yeah. it's like, I can't play that game of just, oh, who cares about the new music, you know?
Yeah, I remember listening to an interview with John Bon Jovi, where he's saying, you know, that most of the songs that they play, it's either Wanted Dead or Alive, Living on mm-hmm. a Prayer, You Give Love a Bad Name, which is all from Slippery When Wet, and occasionally they'll do Bad Medicine, you know,
right.
which is from New Jersey. And he goes, I just wonder if these classic rock radio stations know we have like 9 other albums after that.
Yeah, right. And I mean, you can make a hit, really. If the song is there, obviously, you know, I mean, if the merit is there. But, you know, it's if we don't ever play it, how's anybody going to ever hear it? So you can't say it's not good or it's not worthy, because you're not giving anybody a chance to really, really, really hear it, like your regular person who might just, you know, doesn't go into deep web to find a new song, you know? So I think that's really like, I'm proud of myself for, is that I still want to support these people and find humor in talking with them. And the knowledge with Mark and Brian, I've met so many people. So let's say I was interviewing Steve Lukather the other day, and, you know, Toto, and uh-huh. I didn't say anything ahead of time. It was kind of a satellite tour, and they said, oh, you're on with Kelly, you know. And then I'm like, hey, Steve. And all of a sudden he's like, wait a minute, you know, that Kelly, you know, Mark and Brian Kelly, you know what I mean? And then it just kind of, we had a whole other way to talk to each other, you know. David Coverdale, you know, I always forget and remember him telling Mark and Brian about the bear in his kitchen, you know what I mean, like all these stories. And so anyway, all those people that came through those doors of Mark and Brian, it's been a real great way for me to kind of break the ice with them when I interview them now. You know what I mean?
That's
that holds
great.
A lot of weight. Yeah.
That's good. So with all the stations that you've worked for, excluding KLOS, is there anything that you would go back and do differently?
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, like, you get really, like, I'm a passionate person. I don't say no easily. So I probably fought for things maybe sometimes that I maybe didn't need to. But at the same time, if I felt that I needed to, I probably did need to. You know what I mean? Like, I have respect for myself in a way. I probably negotiate better. Yes, absolutely. I'm not a good negotiator. I am not. I just kind of take what they say, that that's all they can give me, and I don't do the work to set myself up better. Then I have resentment, and I'll be honest with you there. You know, majorly. And I'm just so happy to, like, oh god, okay, this is gonna be exciting, it'll be great. Oh, you're, what you say, I'm gonna get all this money from endorsements and be great. And then, you know, and then it doesn't happen, and then you're stuck working at a really low wage, and you're kind of pissed off.
Yeah, exactly. Working, then trying to work your way back up, you know, up and down the dial again.
Yeah, so then they'll say to me, well, you're not in LA anymore. I said, well, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, but anyway, I would just negotiate. I would stand up myself better when it came to what they wanted to pay a woman. I think I think I did get cheated and slided there.
Some of them.
And that's a lot of it's my own fault.
Okay.
For not demanding.
After all those stations, how did you now end up at KLOS?
All right. I was thinking about this yesterday, actually, or when I woke up this morning. So I want to make it a synopsis, but it is a crazy story because I was talking about record labels and having respect from them.
Uh-huh.
So I moved from Toledo to L.A. because I'd gotten married, and my husband was from California. So that's how we ended up moving out there. And the record label in Detroit, Columbia Records, Howard Lesnick, I'll never forget, just loved me. I had helped break Monster Magnet and bands like that. And so he called Carrie Kurloff, who was a PD at KLOS at the time, and said, you got to talk to this girl. She's great. You know, you got to talk to her. And so I swear to you, goodness, we were still unloading the moving truck, and I get a phone call from Carrie Kurloff. He calls me.
Wow.
And says, we're going to come into KLOS tomorrow and, have a meeting. I'm like, oh my God, this is like, oh my God, you know, you know, I'm 24. I'm like, you know, oh my shit. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. That's fine.
Go for it.
Yeah.
And so I go in, and he takes me on a tour of the station. He introduces me to Mark and Brian. They're live on the air. He's like, this girl is fantastic. And, you know, she's probably going to work here. And hello. I'm like, hi, Mark and Brian. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, so he's like, well, bring me some more material tomorrow, and then we'll talk. And then I did. And then, as they say, it went radio silent. I mean, phone call after phone call. You know, I don't know. We had an email then. I don't know. I'm just saying, I never heard back from the guy, ever. And, of
really?
Course, as you're a woman, maybe you can relate. Like, is it Lisa? I'm sorry.
Amber.
I'm sorry, Amber.
No.
I apologize. It's, you know, okay. I was like, did I smell? Was my hair? Did he, you know, my hips too big? Like, what the fuck?
Not enough cleavage?
Why didn't he call? Exactly. Too much? Not enough? Why didn't he call me back? Like, you know, like, oh my gosh. And so, anyway, I never got a call back. So I went on to work in San Bernardino and San Diego and blah, blah, blah. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
I finally ran into him years later and said, what the heck happened? And he actually said this to me. He goes, to be honest with you, my friend Howard said I should be with you. I met with you. I was doing him a favor. I never even listened to your demo tape.
Oh, wow.
I mean, years of angst and anxiety, like, just crazy.
Yeah, because that weighs on your brain.
Yeah.
Not
even hearing back, not even a no or anything, you know?
Nothing.
Oh.
So years passed, and I ended up working at, remember that short-lived alternative station? What was it? Dang. It kind of went up against K-Rock. I can't even remember the name of it now. It was in Pasadena.
Okay.
But I got a part-time gig there, and then I got a gig at the Museum of Television and Radio, where Mark and Brian, I would coordinate them coming to do their radio plays.
Yeah,
Wizard of Oz and things like that in our theater. And John Duncan was the PD then, so I would have to work very closely. And I just kept saying, I need to be on your radio station. And they finally gave me a part-time slot on the weekends, and I was able to fill in when Chuck would go on vacation. And then Rachel Donahue some part in the mix. But anyway, I was able to fill in, and then I eventually got the gig, you know, in 2000.
Wow.
So, but that was a long, and I'd moved to California in 95. So that was 5 years later.
Oh, wow.
That was a 5 year.
Persistence, man. Persistence. That's the thing.
Oh, yeah. Sending demos. And I remember now sitting on my floor with cassette tapes and writing the labels and trying to do little catchy little flyers, you know, and from the Kinko's colored paper department, trying to get them to notice me and all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
So, and I finally ended up getting, yeah, full time with them. And Rita Wild is who I have to thank. Rita.
Oh, she's
awesome. Wonderful. Wonderful person, wonderful human being. Wonderful. I could start crying right now just thinking about what a supporter she is and was, and just how awesome she is.
You know, there's two women in radio that I have always drawn to, and it's because of their laugh. The first one was Rita, and the second one was you, Kelly. Because
thank you.
The Rita's laugh or whatever was sometimes where, especially if she got off, it was just wonderful to hear, kind of like Mark's laugh was.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if she got the giggles going and everything. But your laugh has an underlying naughtiness to it. You know, like
Penny,
right there.
Penny makes it sexual. And there you go.
No, it's true, though, because it just has this underlying thing that I just love, that it comes out and everything, you know, with that. And both of you are just, you know, wonderful women in that, where the way you guys broadcasted everything, because I would listen to Rita when she would do the album sides, you know, and everything.
Mm, yep.
And, you know, so forth. And then just to listen to you with the guys, and like we played a bit earlier today, where it was a Father's Day PSA, and the moans and groans and the laughter every time a bad joke would come out or whatever, you know, it was just enjoyable to hear that. You know, and you brought that out also. So I wanted to bring that up for you too, because it was.
Well, thank you. It was so funny though. There was a few years back, people were talking about Mark and Brian and reminiscing, and I hardly ever looked at the sites and things, but I happened to look, and this one guy just wrote, "I just every time she laughed, I wanted her just to shut up. It was the worst laugh. It was the worst laugh I've ever heard in my life." And like, I'm like, "Wow, man, I'm just sitting here like
I'm just sitting here. Hey."
But people came to my defense. I will say, I'm like, if there's one thing you're gonna bash me on, like, I just don't think it's that. Like,
with all the wonderful memories with the guys, what were some of your favorites?
Oh, goodness gracious. I mean, not to take away from them, but I would say when musicians would come in the morning, Billy Idol riding up on his motorcycle and walking in all in his leather chaps and, you know, and just sitting there in a room with him and, you know, doing the rebel yell, you know, 2 feet away from him, you know, and it just those moments. And Steve Stevens, you know, stopping me in the hallway, I'll never forget. If you know what he looks like, right? Steve Stevens, little, and he's, you know, it was 8 a.m. and he's got the hair going and the eyeliner and the, and he just stops me and he's like, "I just really want to thank you for like getting into it, you know, it, like, really helped my performance." It was really cool to see you rocking out like that. Like, you know, like those little things like that I'll never forget, you know. Just the people I was able to meet through them. I think that was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the times when, you know, you didn't know when a sketch would be written, you know, by Brian and Eric and you did not hear, you know, you didn't know the zingers that were coming, and to be genuinely cracking up at 6:15 in the morning, you know, I think those moments were just great. I'm trying to think of the one sketch that I think the guy that talks about the list, you know what I mean? I got a list, you know what I mean? Like, they were having fun with the fact that they'd read a list every day, but those sketches, I guess, that really came together, that just... And when Brian sometimes would say to me, you know, you get it. You know, you're a nice sense of humor. You get it, you know.
Right.
So I appreciated that. And again, I have so many musical memories, just incredible musical memories. Ramble, you know, meeting Glenn Campbell. That was just, oh, come and being a country girl. Trust me. Oh, my gosh. And it was amazing.
Yeah. With you had mentioned earlier about some of the things that you learned from the guys. What was the biggest takeaway that you got from them?
Just not to be so stiff and regimented. You know, you hear those people on the air, you know what I mean? And maybe a lot of programmers like that, and they want the, you know, say it in 30 seconds and shut up kind of thing. But I kind of just learned from them that, you know, listeners want to connect. They do think of you as friends, and sometimes what they need to get them going in the morning. And you know, there's just let it breathe sometimes, I guess, you know, just let it breathe and just enjoy yourself. And again, it doesn't have to be just because I'm on a classic rock station doesn't mean I can't talk about, I don't know, just something that Garth Brooks is doing this weekend, you know, the drive-in movie right. thing. You know what I mean? Just
yeah.
like, that may not be a great example, but it's
but
just knowing
loose.
That just to be loose, and if you think it's funny, if you really think it's funny, then you're going to probably, others will too, you know, so... so I would say that, and just don't be so tight. I hate listening to somebody who has to. I once watched a DJ on the radio station. I swear to God, he wrote out what he was going to say, and he actually wrote his name on the piece of paper.
Oh my gosh!
You know,
he was going to forget.
He was going to forget that was his name. You know, I thought, oh my gosh!
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, just come on, man, loosen up.
Yeah. The last day there, we know it was all tough for everybody. Everybody there at KLOS, everybody listening. I mean, I was listening that day myself. How tough was it for you?
Oh, it was horrible. I mean, you say regrets. I probably would like to go back into that room when we all got let go. And I swore a lot, and I yelled a lot, and... Because we were so misled, you know, it was just
right.
so evil. It was just evil, I felt, you know, just like, man, let me have looked for another job. You know, let me have had some sort of help. Don't come back and don't do lots of things purposefully to make me think I have a gig. I mean, they literally came up to me that day, some people in sales and like a HR person, and handed me commercial copy for Monday. And said, you're still here Monday, right? You're going to be in Monday. I said, oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, good, because we're going to need you to read this. So they gave me a show for Monday before the show started that Friday. You know what I mean?
Right.
The last day. To make me think I had a job so that I wouldn't go on the air and go, oh, you know, it's over for me too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they did everything they could to make you think the other thing, make you think the other way. And so when I had been asking, can I like move to midday? Could I do this? Could I do that? And I mean, just like, how do I keep my job here? And they were like, oh, don't worry, you know, don't worry. You'll always have a job here, you know?
Yeah. And that's what us as listeners had heard too, from the guys that, when the news was going to come down to it and everything of Mark's retirement and everything, of course, Brian hadn't yet made a decision yet. But that, you know, we were told as listeners that you, Frank, Priva, you know, Eric, everybody there were all guaranteed a job no matter what Brian's decision was
right.
going to be.
Yes.
You know,
Daniel, let's not forget Daniel. He was great.
Oh, yes. Daniel Mizrahi. Yeah. You know, and then to hear that, I guess, what was it, 5 minutes after they were off the air?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
To let all of you guys go at the same time. You know, and it was just, I mean, heart-wrenching, you know. And I could only imagine what the guys were thinking, too.
I don't know.
You know.
I don't know if they actually, I don't know. I can't speak to it because
right.
I never saw them after that. I don't know. I mean, hopefully they were upset. I would like to think that, you know.
I know Brian was for sure. I know Brian was for sure.
Okay, good.
So,
good,
yeah.
Good. Yeah, you know, I mean, again, a lot of it wasn't their decision-making. I think they had a plan in place to accumulate people for a long time. And I think it was just, you know, being told you got to be out of the building and in like 20 minutes. And I remember carrying my picture off of the wall and walking outside with security following me into the parking lot. You know, I mean, just like, how all of a sudden am I like a criminal? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did Officer Quarterman actually like watch you leave or?
And he can tell himself bad, but he had to do his job. And then we know they went with you. Like, I had to go to my desk and try to get anything I had. And then they only had so much time. And then, like I said, we all had our photos on the wall. And yeah. I was like, can I have this? They're like, yeah, who cares? Yeah. So I took that big ass thing off the hallway wall.
Good for
walked,
you.
Carry that thing out the
walked
door.
Out with it. But yeah, security had to follow you around. Two people. It was George, Officer Quarterman and somebody else. I forget who else. But, you know, just trying to all of a sudden, I didn't prepare. I'm not the most organized person. So I didn't have a lot of, you know, demo tape material, you know, right. things of that sort, audio that, you know, you're going to need to try to get another job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everybody was caught off guard, completely off guard. So
I went into a tailspin. There's no doubt about it. And I always thought I was going to get on to the station that Mark ended up going to.
Oh, the Sound?
The Sound. I really, really thought I was going to go to the Sound and tried hard there and show with Taylor Hawkins and the Foo Fighters. And it all looked good, but there was just never a place for me to fit in. They ended up going more with legendary people from KLOS.
Right.
And
let's briefly talk about that because, Kelly, I know that there was a petition to try and have you and Danny Mizrahi, I guess, back on KLOS, and, of course, the petition to try to get you on The Sound.
Yes.
How did that make you feel knowing the listeners wanted you back on?
Oh, it was great. I was always so thankful because, again, I'm not the most savvy self-marketer and, you know, that kind of thing. I just like being on the radio. Yeah, I mean, I'm not the one that was, you know, tweeting and Facebooking when I probably should have. So it was great that somebody would take the time and the effort to, you know, make a plea for me, which was really thoughtful. And Dave Beasing at The Sound, I think he really did want to put me on. He'd always meet with me. We'd always have good interaction. Mm-hmm. I kept trying to get back on KLOS. I kept trying. And finally, you know, a program director said to me, you know, what did he say? A new one. There was some crazy phrase he used that made me mad, but you'll always be a legend at KLOS, but, you know, those days are gone, you know, that kind of thing. So, and then I think the thought, too, was when Mark went back to The Sound, he wanted to not have people associated with the Mark and Brian Show with him. So he tried to go in a whole different, you know, didn't want anybody to. So I got put in a really weird place. You know, KLOS didn't want me because I was associated with Mark and Brian, and Mark and Brian – or Brian, Mark didn't really want to have anybody from Mark and Brian along with him. So
the only person that Mark did bring, though, was ironically Danny.
Yes.
Yeah, because Danny produced the show, for that year and a half.
Yeah, I know. That kind of hurt, but as far as, I guess, just the on-air kind of co-hosty thing or whatever, he wanted to go in a different direction, and I respect that. So, but it was hard.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine.
And then KFI wanted to hire me to be like an on the street. I'm like, dang, I'd really have to work if I went there.
I don't want to do that.
Like,
no.
I'd produce sound bites and be a real news person. Like, I need to be in a rock and roll kind of environment. I need to be where I'm working. You know what I'm saying? I work hard, but just, you know, not so serious, you know. I need to have some music and I need to have a little fun and laughter. So
after all this time, Kelly, has passed now and everything, how did you end up back almost in your home state of Kentucky?
Well, it's not a great story. I had gone up to Northern California and started doing a morning show up there because I'd met a boy at a
good for you
spiritual retreat in San Diego. And anyway, so I went up there and started doing a show, but my sister, who I just was like a second mom to me because my mom died when I was 19, she got terminally ill in Kentucky, and I thought, you know, I know the writing's on the wall. Anybody can say anything. Yeah. Like, oh, she'll be just fine. Like, no.
Right, yeah.
No, she won't. Like, there's like a six... I've been through this, you know? There's a six-month expiration date here, unfortunately. And I just said to the radio station I needed to spend time with her, and they fought me on it. They said, you can go for a couple days. And I said, no. So I was leaving to go for like a week, and they called me in and said, you know what, well, somebody in the building will do the show for free, is what they said. So,
wow.
You know, feel free to stay as long as you want with your sister.
Jeez.
Oof. I'm like, okay. But you know what? I'm so glad I stayed months with my sister. I was there when she died, and I just got to know my little great niece and nephew that are just a riot. And I went back to California after she died and tried to get back going again there in Northern California. It was just too hard. I got balanced with the fires up there and trying to get a radio gig again. And everything was just too tough. It was just hard. And so I had some health opportunities, as they like to say. So I came back to be with my family for some support. And just turned out that the station here, I reached out to them. They called me within an hour and said, we're looking for a morning show.
You mean you didn't have to wait 5 years?
But I didn't have to wait five. They did make me wait. I would say a lot longer than I thought, but it was tough. It was a tough thing to, you know, my ego. I always say my ego is still in California. My ego is still in LA. There's no doubt about it. You know what I mean? But Lexington, Kentucky is not a bad place. I'm
not
telling you,
it's
we've got
beautiful.
Yeah. And it was, you know, between, okay. So when I started doing the show 2 years ago until COVID-19, I mean, every single day, and I'm not lying, I was giving away major concert tickets, because not only in Lexington, but 45 minutes away in Cincinnati,
yep.
45 minutes in Louisville. I mean, Louisville. Yeah. Amber, you sound like you know your country.
I'm from Cincinnati.
Cincinnati,
and I lived in Nashville for a long time, so I made that drive all the time, lots of friends all in that area. So,
Louisville.
You take the 75 and you get on the 65 and you make that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Louisville.
So, yeah, so there was, but you know, every weekend was I'm sending you to see, a big festival. Or, not one day in 2 years went by that I didn't have a concert ticket to give away on the air to a major show. So it wasn't like I was in Podunkville, you know what I mean? It wasn't like I was in the middle of nowhere. And great art, great restaurants, great, nice people, great listening audience. I mean, you know, it's just so there when I need them. And I can't say enough about the people in the area. You know, it's got its challenges. It's an independent owner. So he's little miserly, you know. It's not a secret. But at the same time, when you hear iHeart laying off hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in a fell swoop, and then you know, it's a mixed bag. But
Kelly, real quick, how much has would you say from your point of view? And we've talked to Mark about this also, though. How much has radio changed, and do you think that there is any future for terrestrial radio anymore?
Well, I always want to believe it, and I think COVID-19 actually helped reinforce that. I think people needed a connection. They needed local information, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it was something that brought people back to the radio. I think if companies keep just having one dude in charge from one location, and he's supposed to know what's going on in, you know, a whole different area of the country and make decisions, I don't think that's a good thing. I think they got to get back to some passion and some people, you know, locally that can really, that just knows their audience. You know what I'm saying? I don't like these massive decision making going on from far, far away.
So there's still hope for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They're run like corporations now.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah. Because I mean, as much as podcasting has taken off and it's still growing tremendously, you know, Mark was kind of saying, "Gee, I want, you know, will terrestrial ever finally go away?" you know, to the point where podcasting just kind of takes over because it's a direct stream or you're choosing what you want and everything. You know, and I was kind of wondering that for you is like, you know, but now you're saying that like, it's still, it was in this time right now, it's still needed for information purposes and so forth.
And a connection. I mean, maybe I'm just
hopeful,
silly, you know, silly, hopeful, naive. I'm not sure, but I know that when I ask somebody to call me, you know, for some topic or something, or I need something, the phone lights up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like people are there.
You're like, wow, it works.
It's exciting. And so as long, you know, like Amber just said, if there's too much focus now just on money, and yeah, you know, get in and get out, and, you know, say what you need to say in 30 seconds and shut up. It's like, well, then why even have me here? If that's what you want. I mean, like, you know, what do you really want? You know, if you don't, do you want to host or you don't want to host? You know what I mean? Like, so, I love radio. I keep hoping.
Yeah. Do you think it will get back to a point possibly where, like you said earlier, where, you know, you were able to break bands, or do you think it's just too far gone now?
I think there's people in charge that could make that happen overnight if they decided to loosen up and to not be so greedy. I think you could bring excitement right back to the airwaves and bring in bands and help break a band and, you know, and put on a show. I mean, the bands are still out there touring. You're still toiling,
right,
you know.
Right.
I mean,
touring's never going to stop.
You know, hopefully, yeah, exactly. I mean, I know it's been a weird time, but I think this is, there's too many old white men in charge.
So true.
I agree.
I feel like that everybody's still going to want the format of radio, but I think the technology is going to change. I think we're going to go when Wi-Fi and broadband, when everything kind of opens up and we have a higher flow of broadband, when information can travel faster and everybody has access immediately, I think everything's going to be digitized.
Yeah.
I think that they're just will, and in cars will update to where they won't have radio. Everything will be streaming. But I think this format,
that's
will
what
still,
Mark was talking about.
I think
yeah,
the format will still, people love it. People love to talk and connect and.
Absolutely.
Well, dang it, I better see. I'm so stuck. You know, my boyfriend gets frustrated with me, and I don't blame him because he forward things like that. And I'm just kind of like, I just want to go turn on a microphone and do a show
and have fun
and
with
people
it.
Come. Yeah, you know, so I do have to think differently, and I know that, and I'm trying.
It is difficult.
Yeah,
I just go to the Church of Elon Musk. That's where I stick right there.
Well, is everything he touches is on fire,
right?
He can do no wrong these days, that's for sure.
Yeah, two personal things about you, Kelly, that I also want to touch on just briefly. The first, though, is how in the world did you end up being an awesome poker player?
I was just going to say, my gambling problem. I'll never forget. I was out in Long Beach. We were doing a remote, like a car show or something like that, you know, with Margaret Moves at KLOS.
Uh-huh.
And I'm there at the table with a microphone and doing my breaks. And this old couple walks by and they don't say hello to me. They don't say anything. I just hear the guy say to his wife, "That's the girl with the gambling problem." And just kept walking. I was like, oh, my God. You know, my family always played cards growing up. I mean, 6-7 years old, I'd be getting my piggy bank and playing with my uncle.
Wow.
And winning a game called Tonk, I'll never forget. And, you know, them wanting me to go to bed. My mom going, you invited her to play. So, you know,
oh, wow.
You know, like it was that kind of thing. And my dad, we just always like canasta. We always played any card game. And somehow, you know, I moved out to Vegas and started working I worked at a rock station there. I'd fallen in love with Wayne Newton's saxophone player when I was 21 and moved to Vegas.
Atta girl.
You know, they call them props, where you'd help keep a game going. You used your own money, but you got a paycheck. And so I did the graveyard shift at Bob Stupak's Vegas World, which is now the Stratosphere. And I'd go in at 1 a.m. and play until 9 a.m. And, you know, you would just you would help keep games. Somebody would have to go to dinner, then you'd come and or breakfast or whatever, or yeah, you go, you know, you help support the game, and that just got me hooked. And
wow.
And then I found out I was good at it, and then I got my specialty of Omaha Hilo Split, and I played the World Series a number of times.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, she's a serious poker player.
Do you ever go to the riverboats up there on the in Cincinnati, or is it Indianapolis? It's Indiana, I think.
Yeah, they kind of changed it from a riverboat now to a real place on the land. I loved that whole loophole, though. That was pretty great. Yeah, yeah.
On the water, you can gamble. On the land, you cannot.
Yeah, you know, I was so into poker that I will go once in a while, but they just don't have the poker games that I want. So that's one thing I do miss. I guess I play Omaha Hilo, and everybody's in the no limit hold'em now.
Right.
And it's not my thing. I don't like to sit there for 3 hours waiting for pocket aces, and somebody comes in with a two and a five of clubs, and you know, or offsuit or whatever, and rams you. You know, I mean, I like to be able to play, and I'm very very aggressive, and so they don't really have my game.
They
here,
don't. It's like playing with the people of Walmart when you go to those
Yeah.
Well, Kelly, can you? Because like I said, I've done my research. Can you please tell the time when you were in Vegas and your Red Fox story?
Oh my God. Okay, so that was one of the moments that I was talking about. I was playing overnight at Bob Stupak's Vegas World. So let's see, how old am I? How old am I? I'm in my 20s. And he did a really blue X-rated show over, you know, really late night show down the strip. But he come play poker afterward. And so he comes and he sits down at the table and he's got his bodyguard behind him. Now, mind you, we're playing $1 to $3 Texas Hold'em, not even no limit. Okay, just one.
$3.
The most you can bet is $3. Okay,
that's my kind of table.
You can raise in increments of three, but the most you're ever going to be—it's a small game. All right, but again, this is back in the '90s, you know, and so anyway, he sits down, and I know who he is, but I don't say anything, and he says to me, again, he's got his bodyguard. He's got the whole thing going. It's like 3 in the morning, and he's just done his show, and he's all worked up, you know, from being on. And he says to me, "You got nice lips, honey. Nice lips." I say, thank you, sir. Thank you. I mean it. I mean, nice lips.
Oh my gosh.
And thank you. He's like, What's your name? I said, my name is Kelly. He said, what's yours? It's Bill Cosby. he didn't miss a beat. Like, even though I knew who he was, I still said, and what's yours? But, oh, God, it was just so funny the way it was very, very funny. And, that's my Red Fox story. There anyway, he asked my phone number. I'm like, I don't think so, Red.
So this Bill Cosby thing could be a whole combination of... No,
it kind of came true to a degree. You know?
Exactly. Yeah. He was definitely knew something or saw something, that's for sure. Well, oh, my God.
With all the years that you've been playing poker, though, Kelly, what is the largest hand you've ever won, and what is the largest hand you've ever lost?
Oh.
Well, I have to go again. I play what they call Omaha Hilo Split, and usually that is a structured game. So I'm not in these live games for a lot of money at once. Okay, so let's just establish that. So, okay. You know, so I'm not sitting down with thousands of dollars at a poker hand. You know, the biggest game I would play would be in LA, like 20, 40, or 30, 60. I'd buy it for maybe 1,500, but you can't lose it all at once. We'll just put it that way. So right. I'd have to go to tournament play for that to tell you that. So in a tournament, it's a whole different story. And I'll never forget, I was just about ready to make the money. Like, you know, so many people are, you start with so many people, then it's a process of elimination. You know what I mean? Once your chips are gone, you're out.
Right.
And I'll tell you that in the World Series of Poker, twice, I made it to the second day, the $10,000 entry.
Wow.
And I won my way into those events, by the way, through different satellites and things like that. But anyway, both days I got knocked out with a full house because... In the blind, nobody had raised, and I had a Jack Queen, I'll never forget. And this is like, this is, I was, you know, this is the, I was sitting pretty, you know what I mean? Second day, had a lot of chips. Flop came down, Jack Queen. I have Jack Queen. I bet a little bit. Guy went all in on me, and I had to call him. And I did, and we flipped over our cards. I'll just never forget. And so everything was on the line, and he flipped over Jack King. And, you know, then before I could even blink, that king came on the turn. So we made jacks full of kings. I had flopped the full house. The same exact thing happened to me the next year. The same exact thing. Or I flopped it. And I probably wouldn't even have played a Jack Queen, to be honest with you. It's not a great hand. It's a dangerous hand. But if you're in the big blind, you, and there it was. You know what I mean? I had no choice.
Wow.
And so that was like a hard loss. I'll never forget a celebrity tournament. Ray Romano knocking me out when I had pocket queens and he had pocket jacks and we had put everything in. And it was still for a lot of money. And his jack came on the river. But that was a heartbreaker. But I would say there was one night we were going to see Bette Midler in Vegas, my sisters and I. And we sat down. I sat down at this 30-60 Omaha High-Low split table. I had 30 minutes to play. 30 minutes is all. And I sat down with like $300 or $400. And I won every single hand for the next 30 minutes. And I walked away with like $9,000 in 30 minutes at a at a limit table.
That Bette Midler luck.
And oh my god, and then my sister's like, the show's about ready to go. Oh my god, those people gave me such stink, the stink eyes. I have to go, I have to, you know, because I didn't give them a chance to get their money back. But I'll never forget that as long as I live. I mean, every hand I won. And
you were walking a little bit taller that day or that night.
Oh, so, my yeah. God. I was buying them. Well, he didn't have to buy drinks then in Vegas, but I I took everybody to a nice dinner, that's for sure. Oh, my God.
There you go.
That was fun. So, again, I don't have those massive pot stories to tell you about because of the nature of my game.
Well, the other personal thing I wanted to talk about was the work that you've done with Trinity Kid Cares.
Yes.
Would you please tell us about this organization that you're involved with?
Yes, it's a hospice organization for children, basically of families with children that are been diagnosed with a terminal illness. And so I was just volunteer, but I ended up, poker was the way actually I connected with one family, a little young guy named Santiago, I'll never forget. We delivered Christmas presents, and I went over there and Tito's calling me. I don't know if he's
Tito's calling you right now.
Yeah, that's so funny. I wish I could.
Oh my god!
I don't know if I can merge him. I don't know how to merge.
His ears were tingling.
Yeah, merge the call.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do it. Hold on.
Oh my god.
Hold and accept. Hold.
Okay, this is if she could merge the call, this will be amazing. Tito worked for Mark and Brian and ran the back studio.
Okay.
I've been trying to hunt him down.
You're going to get him now.
Now I know that Kelly is so connected
Kelly's
with
the contact.
It. Kelly's the contact. Absolutely.
A door just opened. Uh-oh.
How is he doing?
I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to add code.
She's still going with it.
Okay, if I say add call, well, he's gone now.
Can you call him back and add call?
Okay, what am I going to do with you? So I'm going to
add call because you have an iPhone, right, Kelly?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're doing it.
You're going to add call and you're going to call Tito, and then when he answers, you'll merge the two calls together.
That probably means she's doing it.
Yeah. This will be so cool.
You're so excited. You're like a little kid.
Tito,
are you there? Is everybody there?
Yeah, I'm here, Kel.
Tito, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey. Oh, my God.
Shot
Tito.
Party line?
It is. First of all, Tito, I got to say hi. My name is Sean Roberts. I have met you several times. at various Mark and Brian events. We are a bunch of listeners who have our own podcast that pay tribute to Mark and Brian.
Oh, right on, man.
And, dude, I've been trying to get a hold of you or find out where in the hell you've been so we could do a separate interview with you. And you happen to call Kelly while we're interviewing Kelly.
Kelly's our Bette Midler.
And I love it right now.
Well, my God, no wonder my ears were burning, man.
This man is solely responsible. And for you guys don't know this, my wife just walked into our room right now going, holy shit, because she remembers Tito also. This man is solely responsible for when Stevie Nicks came in and sang on the Mark and Brian show with Lindsey Buckingham. She was kind of, I don't want to say throwing a fit per se, but she wasn't feeling it that day. And Tito had a friend put together some kind of little mystical thing in a bag with crystals and feathers and, I don't know, like
and
a crow's claw or something or whatever, you know. And he gives it to Stevie, and it changes her attitude.
Aww.
And they play the most beautiful rendition of Landslide you have ever heard. That is Tito.
And then, Tito, tell him what happened.
Well, it was just an amazing moment in time. I mean, well, we just kept on. After we met, she walked, you know, I just, you know, gave her a blessing. I said, God bless you, Stevie. This is for you. And, like, I was just beaming at her because, I mean, I just came off the Grateful Dead tour, man. I, you know, completely rock and roll in my heart and soul, you know. And I just knew that, you know, we were part of the same clan, part of the same tribe, you know. And when she saw me, I could tell she'd been crying. Her eyes were a little puffy. The thing is, you know, it was just that Fleetwood Mac just got back together, and they weren't used to getting up at 4 a.m.
Nobody is.
They're older.
Yeah, nobody is, you know. So, like, that was a rough morning for her. And but when she turned the corner and I said that to her, you know, she looked at me at first like, you're like, you know, what's this guy all about? And, like, when she saw what was, I was holding in my hands, there were two medicine bags. One was empty and one was full of really neat stuff. No bird claw, by the way. That's going somewhere else, man. And she saw it. She looked at me and her whole disposition changed. Like, you know, like, it was awesome. And, like, I mean, I'll be honest. I think we were soulmates for, like, a couple of hours, you know? It was, you know, it was one of those moments, and she just grabbed my hands, and I mean, I was holding them, and I handed them to her, but she held my hands, and they were like the softest, most wonderful hands I had. Right. I mean, upper echelon handshake, I swear, or hand-holding, and like, and she just thank me. She was like, you know, saying, thank you so much. You have no idea how much I needed this right now. And I just told her, no, thank you. Thank you for everything you've done for us. Thank you for all the wonderful music. And we just started smiling at each other. And that's when her manager, who I don't think really liked me, says, oh, this way, Stevie, you know, and like, so she walked in and she was just looking at him. And that's when I turned around and I had everyone from the office and everything was behind me looking over my shoulder unbeknownst, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I made her smile, you guys. And like, you know, everyone was cheering and everything. It was great. And they had me.
I love the fact that tell them, Tito, how she called.
Oh, yeah.
A week later, I get a guy named Tony Amato. He was like, hey, you got a phone call coming. And I'm like, well, who is he? He's like, well, I'm not going to spoil it for you. So make sure you answer all the lines. And I did, and the guy from Creedence Clearwater called in, but that was another thing.
Uh-huh.
And like, I'm like, oh, he's like, did you get your call? I'm like, well, you know, John Fogerty called in, right? He's like, no, man, Stevie Nicks called for you. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
Like, I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, she called like 10 minutes before you came in. I told her that, you know, I'm like, you know, like, that to call back, and she said she would, but I think she got busy because that was during their tour and everything like that. So, but I got to, speak to her a couple of years later, and she totally remembered me, and like we caught up a little bit. It was awesome.
Oh, that is very cool. Yeah.
Great story.
Well, I got to say, man, first of all, it is wonderful to hear your voice.
It's great to hear you guys, man. Mark and Brian family are just the best. You guys are just awesome. I mean, we are all awesome together. That's for sure.
Stealing my thunder, Tito. I swear. I'll tell you. Man,
but that's what happens when a cyclone comes in.
That's right. Nobody's funnier on the radio than Tito. So, yeah, whoever, if you think he likes me at all, once you have Tito for a whole show, you'll forget all about me.
Kelly,
which is fine. Which is fine. Trust me, he's worth it.
Kelly was my counselor at the broadcast school that I went to.
Oh, and, wow. And
yeah, yeah. Hardly anyone knows this. We've known each other for a while.
Tito got hired at KLOS before I did.
Oh, really?
You were a good counselor.
Yep. She's the best. She really was. She was so encouraging and everything. And like, and when I got the gig there, I was completely stoked. And then like, and then when I found out Kelly was getting on, I was like, oh, this could not be more perfect. You know, it was a match made in heaven with her in the show, and to have my counselor back there. I mean, we just had a chemistry from forever. You know, I mean, you know, our history goes, you know, pretty much far back until when I first stepped into the realm.
That's awesome, man. That's so cool, because I didn't even know that side of the story.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever brought that up, but yeah, we've known each other for a while.
Wow.
The best part is that I was really down and out. I divorced, and I needed a car bad, and Tito had this real crap car, or a friend or something, but they were able to sell it to me for $500 with one condition, and that was that I don't remove the Grateful Dead stickers.
You do not defame the Steal Your Face. You don't do that. You do not.
Well, Tito, from what I remember, is like one of the biggest Deadhead guys that had ever lived on this planet. You know,
the tours were so much fun. I only got 5 years with those guys, but oh my God, man, it was just amazing. I mean the veggie burritos in the parking lot, I just missed them so much, you know.
Oh, that is awesome,
Kelly. We need to see pictures of this this Grateful Dead vehicle you had here. I'm curious.
I don't even know. Oh my God! But I tell you, I would drive to Vegas in it. That was how bad of a gambler I was, and I would have to like the side of the freaking, you know, desert freeway in the middle of the night and reconnect the wires with a Tito, get the battery, and touch the wires back up again so that it would refire up. Oh my God! I can't even believe I went 2 miles in that car, let alone across the desert in the middle of the night. But I did. In all honesty, I put a I Love Elvis bumper sticker on there as well. So that was my contribution.
It ran on 420 octane spirituality, that's for sure.
What's with the Dead and stickers? They're so into stickers and pens and posters.
Yeah.
It's so you can wave and, like, you know, say hi to the brethren that are on the road with you, you know?
Yeah, everybody holds the hand up, the Jerry finger, you know? As everybody,
oh, my God, yeah, yeah. You have to put one down because, you know, Jerry locked that poor thing, you know?
Yep.
And, the stickers, just like the song says, just saw a Deadhead sticker on a Cadillac, so it means we grew up sometime somewhere, you know?
That's awesome.
Oh, that's so good. And I got to tell you, my wife and I, we, I think the first time we met you, Tito, was at the first couples event for Mark and Brian, which was called Sexpo.
Oh, the Viva Libido thing, right?
Right. But the very first one was called Sexpo. And then later on, they were called Viva Libidos and everything. And that's where we got to know you and Priva and...
the fam. Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, this goes back, you know, quite a ways and everything. And right. It was so funny because... My wife and I went to Vegas one time, speaking of Vegas, and we run into Brian at a strip club there.
Right on.
And the thing was that it was our first time being in a strip club in Vegas as a married couple. And so we kind of ventured into a little bit more and everything, and it was Cheetahs. And there was this guy in front of us, you know, about 6'2 or so, whatever. And we're kind of going... Okay, well, what do we want to drink, whatever, this and that. And we see him turn around, and we're like, Brian, what are you doing here?
What do you think? It's not there for the buffet, let me tell you.
And, well, we know that. And he just looked at us and goes, "You guys must be listeners." And from he spent at least 3 hours with us. He spent about maybe, what, two or three lap dances or two or three drinks on us. And then we bought him a lap dance. He bought my wife her first lap dance and everything. I mean, it was just awesome. And that's where I really became a hardcore fan of the guys and everything, because I knew what you heard on the air was really them. And with everybody also behind the scenes, including you and Priva and Eric and everybody else, I knew it was exactly the same. And when we got to go up to Priva's room sometimes after certain events and party with you guys, it was awesome. It was always a wonderful event, no matter what.
You really did hit it right there. I mean, that really was who we were, and we were there, you know, together. There wasn't an off switch as far as our camaraderie, you know, behind the scenes. You know, everything was, you know, we were an absolute family, you know, and you know, when it came down to it, you know, we really cared for each other, and there was nothing like the events, you know, when we got to hang out with the listeners and to meet everybody. I mean, everything was amplified, you know, it's just like, you know, like when a guitarist is doing his solo, when he hears the crowd cheer, it pushes him to reach a place in his performance that he couldn't do alone. He needs the audience. He needs the crowd. And that was exactly us, especially in the public events, you know, we everything was amplified on both ends, on your end and especially on our end. You know, we felt you guys, and it boosted exactly what we were placed on earth to do, was to entertain you guys and to be there for you guys and to basically love you guys.
Man. Yeah, and you guys did. You guys did an absolute job. And it was funny because I think Brian drank so much that night when we were at Cheetah's, he actually gave me the phone number for your phone in the back room when you were doing the syndication board.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, yep. and there was something, and he goes, "Call in anytime or whatever, because you guys are family," you know. We're like, "Well, okay." And I didn't abuse it or anything like that. But if the guys were talking about something and I knew that they were wrong, I would actually call you up and either you
up,
or
right?
Priva and answer. And I go, "Hey, it's listener Sean. Tell the guys this or whatever and correct, you know, and correct them because what they're saying is wrong." And you go, okay. And hang up, and I would hang up, and literally 30 seconds later, the guys would go, "All right, well, we just got a call from a listener that we just screwed all that up, and we just told you it was a lie, so it's actually this," you know, kind of a thing, you know, and that went on, you know, for a long time. But the best memory.
So that was you, Sean, okay?
It was, yeah. It was.
Sean's the fact police.
I'm like, "Who is this dude, and how does he have my number, man?"
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
He's a stupid replaceable listener, that's who.
But the coolest thing that happened, though, is, and I got to try and get a hold of her, too, because we want to get her and Eric on, which is Priva.
Oh, right on.
Back in 2000. Bon Jovi was coming in, and I called in to try and win tickets. It's a Friday, and Bon Jovi was going to be doing the Mark and Brian Amphitheater, and of course, at that time, it was the Key Club. And so I called in to try and win. The guys are going off the air, and I, for whatever reason, I just kind of stayed on. Priva comes on and says, "Sean, I'm sorry, but you know, the guys are pretty much done with the show." And I'm like, "Okay, no problem." I said, I'll try calling in on Monday. And she goes, "Well, wait a minute. Which Sean is this?" And I said, "This is Sean Roberts." "How's Karen, my wife? How's Karen doing?" "Oh, she's great. Well, you guys are coming to the show." I'm like, "Priva, you can't do that." She goes, "Well, I just did."
Yeah.
And that's an awesome story right
so
there.
So as a thank you, we brought her a bouquet of flowers, basically.
Aww.
You know, to thank her for that. Because now in my home studio, I have a picture of John Bon Jovi playing guitar, Richie Sambora playing his double neck acoustic, a pic that Richie gave me from that show, and they both autographed the Mark and Brian tickets.
Dude, right on.
So I have to thank Priva for that, you know, and that's like my prized autographs that I've had through all the years and everything and so forth. So, hey, by the way, is Kelly still there?
I'm listening. Yeah, I'm listening.
What a pleasant surprise.
First Tito, now Priva. Fine. No.
Well, you know what? I want to... Go ahead, Priva.
Priva had the power is the phrase that's coming to my mind. Priva had the power. She did. She could let anybody into anything and not into anything if she wanted to.
That's so true.
She was a that's for sure. But, yeah, like I said, I'm glad you had all these moments, man, because, you know, and it's great to hear these things, too, because, you know, every time, you know, we would, you know, have contact with people, you know, we'd hear it for that moment. And then, like, you know, then we'd get back to work and everything like that. But then, you know, hearing what you just said, just, you know, really, you know, it tells where the wave ended. You know what I mean? Where
yeah.
it ended. You know, it was awesome, you know. Those things are awesome to hear, you know. And I know there are lots of listeners with these amazing stories and stuff like that. And, I mean, I just have nothing but an adorance for that chapter in my life, you know. And like, with you know, with everything that you guys are doing, it just goes to show that it wasn't empty calorie fun, man. It was a lot of actual spiritual nourishment that happened. And that's why people hold on to what was, you know, and in many ways continues to be the Mark and Brian show, you know?
Yeah.
It's all of us and all of you, and it's just us all, you know? Man, and that's where we're at. You
awesome.
Know?
And that's what we try to do here is keep that tradition. You know, we've had both the guys on also. We've had producer Ted on. We've had... producer Rosemary on as well and everything. We've had Chuck Moschant on, you know, so and it's just so nice to go back and talk with everybody of the family like Kelly and you and just reminisce because it is fun. And I can't tell you how many times on the 25-year Facebook page that you guys are mentioned or the show, how much we miss the guys and how much we miss the family. And I just hope that we're able to give a little bit of that back, even though we're stupid replaceable listeners on this ridiculous podcast. You know,
no, man, you did that and more at this very moment, man. And I just love being here. You know, well, this was an awesome, wonderful little treat, man. And Kelly, did you tell him about the contest that we where you guys would have like a little contest and stuff like that on who would have the right answers, and I'd sneak you the answers every now and then.
Yeah,
no.
Kelly. Yeah, Kelly. Why don't you talk for a little bit now?
No, Tito. Hey, why were you even calling me, Tito?
Just hey, you know, the statute of limitations have passed, man.
Oh, my gosh.
So all these years, Kelly was cheating?
You know, my favorite part is, like, because I had a button that would go straight only to her headphones, right?
Uh-huh.
Tito.
He's spilling all the dirt right there.
dude, yeah, come on, man. I mean, this was. I love this story because we got it down so well. Like, but my favorite part, Kel, was when you would pretend to be thinking it really hard.
Oh, I was gonna say, I did a good acting job.
Oh my god,
I think it's this. It is like, oh my god, he's got it. And I'm just rushing up in the back.
I did pull it off. So I did my part too.
And the Oscar goes to Kelly Gage for best acting job on a radio show.
I swear, that was the stuff. That was the gravy. Yeah. That was like, oh my god. Because everybody's like, wow, Kelly got it. And I'm like, ha, I got it. It was so funny, man. I just loved it. I loved it. Because the thing is like, you know, I was in the back and I wasn't part of the trivia thing, right?
Right.
You know? And like, I just so wanted to be in it. I wanted to throw in my two cents, especially when no one got it. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, it's this, you know? Like,
well,
you know, oh, that was right there. That takes a load off my chest. I wanted everyone to know that. That was awesome.
That's thank funny. You. Well, you know what, then? We've got a special treat for you guys, then, because we do our own version of No Apparent Reason. And so we want the two of you to be a part of it and everything. So we're going to go ahead and kick it off right now.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, the game show that's rocking the nation, Quiz Me, Quiz You.
And apparently Steve's awake.
Yes.
I've been listening. This has been awesome.
So we all know how the game is played. We don't need to do the rules or anything like that. So let's go ahead, producer Zach, go ahead and fire off the first question, bud.
Question number one. What three gifts did baby Jesus receive from the Magi?
Amber. Oh,
Amber.
You see, there's a little lag there, so we don't know who got it. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
That is correct. It's just that
of course,
easy.
We actually found out through Mark and Brian that frankincense and myrrh were actually a comedy team.
Yes.
Oh, boy. You know, you're raised in the Midwest for the Bible shit on your
myrrh.
Throat. You get the answers right.
I created that little rim shot sound effect with the cow on that one, by the way.
Did you really?
Yeah. Oh,
jeez. Question number two. Beg your pardon. Which fast food restaurant has a strong tradition of Christmas patronage?
Kelly.
Oh, boy. This is the way we used to do.
I know. Kelly's out for blood.
She's a shark. She can smell it.
I already know how Kelly looks right now. I know how.
Oh, jeez.
Pop a spring on that button there.
And you have no button to push, Tito.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
My goodness, that is correct.
Wow.
KFC.
Outstanding. Okay.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
Oh.
Don't act like you didn't know. You knew the answer. Wait, you did not just randomly. Swear you did not know that was the answer.
Tito's over
there
texting.
Why would I? How would I? No, I'm just in Kentucky now, so I just thought, what the heck?
Hey, Tito.
I guess it just
no texting Kelly.
Okay.
Okay, question number three. I'm going to give a little hard one now. Well, that sounded bad.
That did not.
Yeah, that.
Wow.
An emphasis on little
or hard.
Okay. Which television series ended in the apparent suicide of its main character?
Oh.
It just brought the show down.
Kelly. No, never
mind.
MASH. It's not right. MASH.
Incorrect.
I was thinking that too, MASH.
Huh.
I was thinking Suicide is Painless. Never mind.
Yeah, that was going down that same road too, Kelly.
It's a city in the state of Texas.
Steve. Dallas.
That's correct.
Oh, there we go.
That's the first thing I thought of, but then I went... Wait a minute.
So JR shot JR?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Question number four.
I realized that that's how that soap opera ended.
It was terrible anyway.
That was the soap opera?
More or less.
Nighttime soap.
Oh, okay.
Nighttime soap, yeah.
Exhibit had a show called what on MTV?
Oh, shoot. I should know this one. Exhibit had the show. Oh, shoot.
Sean.
A?
No! Exhibit's a rapper.
Oh, I thought it was like Exhibit A. So,
no. Oh, wow.
Oh, wait.
Puns.
I think I know what this is. Wait. Was it a...
Hold on. My shirt just fell.
Oh, no.
I hit the thing again. Okay.
Okay. Amber, but I'm just Kate.
Amber.
Was it a... Oh, shit. It's that... What did you...
Oh, shit
you...
is correct.
No.
I mean, incorrect.
Isn't it that, like, obstacle course one? No?
Oh, God. You're not even close. Steve?
Real life?
No.
No, that's this.
Right. When they stop playing music, I stop listening.
It has to do with cars.
Tito, you got it? An answer?
Oh,
Kelly.
Kelly.
Kelly. Pimp My Ride.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah.
She said that proudly. Pimp My Ride. Kind of like Red Fox style.
Yeah. Cool. Question number
Pimp
9.
Pimp My Ride.
Got nice lips there, Kelly.
In the movie Saving Private Ryan, it takes place during which notable event of World War II?
Sean. D-Day.
That is correct. That was a little too easy. Cool. Question number 6. This one's fun. How many hearts does an octopus have?
Kelly. None.
Sean, after Kelly.
Yeah, octopus
Amber.
Is quite soulless.
I mean, let's just go with 8.
I said Sean after
wait,
Kelly.
Wait. We need to back up.
Anyway.
Wait, Amber, you're assuming that each tentacle of an octopus has a heart?
I was making a guess. I don't know.
That was horrible.
No, sorry.
I'm glad you got that wrong.
I forget this part.
I think it's 1.
Sean, do you have an answer?
Yeah. Tito says 1. I say it's 3.
Sean is correct.
Really?
Yeah.
I need to go back.
Oh, I thought you said Octomom. Sorry.
Steve has to clean his bladder out, so we'll go to question number 7 while we're waiting. I can hear him laughing down the hall.
Clean his bladder out? Is that what
clear? I meant to say clear out. Yeah, I'm multitasking on an astronomical level, so bear with me.
Yes, he is.
What was the highest number of games played in the World Series?
Oh, God.
Wow.
Wait.
Kelly.
12.
Can you repeat the question, please?
I sure can. What was the highest number of games played in a World Series?
Well, it can only...
Never mind.
It can only go 7 games.
That's correct.
All right. That's right.
I was thinking... never mind.
My bad. Question number 8. Actually, this has to do with me. What percentage of the world's population is left-handed?
Ooh. Me too. Kelly.
Oh, we're cool. Wait, that mean three? Three of us are?
Yeah, three.
Oh, we rule. Okay, yeah, Kelly?
30%.
Oh, I wish it were so.
Tito, 20%.
So far, Tito's the closest.
Sean. 15%.
So far, Sean's the closest.
I don't know. I was texting.
That is incorrect.
Sorry, it was important.
All right, what is it?
Oh, 10%.
Wow.
Really? Wow. There's only 12 of us on the planet.
Suck it!
Oh, boy.
Question number 9. Musician prodigy of the rap group Mobb Deep.
Mobb Deep.
Mobb Deep passed away after choking on what food?
Oh, man. I don't know this.
Kelly.
Just have fun with it.
A carrot.
Yeah, I was going to say, just have fun with it.
I want to picture pie, but I don't think that's correct.
It's a protein food. Lots of people trying to exercise, maybe bodybuilding a lot of
Amber.
These. Amber.
Chicken.
Yeah, you're on the right track, though.
Dang it. Oh,
it wasn't Mama Cass's way. All right.
No, it was not.
You were going to say something, Tito? Go ahead, Tito.
Yeah, a spotted dick.
Wonderful selection, though.
Okay, what'd I miss?
We're on number 9, don't worry.
Oh, okay.
Steve, just pick a food.
A food?
Yeah.
Quince.
Sean. You said something that was close to chicken. I want to say egg.
I will accept that. Hard-boiled egg is what he choked on. Well, that's a bitch. Question number 9.
Weird.
Whoops.
I'm glad I missed that question.
Good. We're glad you left.
Choke on a hard-boiled egg. I don't even want to know. Moving on.
Yeah. What does the lettuce vegetable represent on the cedar plate?
What?
Or the seder. S-E-D-E-R.
Oh, seder.
Seder.
Oh, my gosh. You're a bad Jew. You're not Jew.
Never oh, my God.
Never claimed to be.
Everything is representative of an...
Where's Priva when we need her?
Oh, my gosh. That's... Is Priva...
Well, actually, I don't even know if Priva would remember that, because I remember Brian saying he would have to tell her half the holidays anyway.
Let's think. Lettuce is green, and then everything is all about coming out of Egypt. It's a...
I don't know. What is it?
It is bitterness.
The bitterness. That's right.
Oh, all right.
All right. Last question.
All right. Final question number 10. Dolphins lack this... sense.
Steve. Smell.
Wow, that's correct.
There you go.
Yeah.
God, I didn't think it was going to be so obvious.
I don't know. I just hit or miss with these questions sometimes.
Yeah.
Kind of a worthless blowhole then.
I know, right?
First off, Kelly, can't thank you enough for coming on. And
thank you.
We hope you had fun with us.
Of course.
And you can call in just to say hi anytime you want. Our door is always
open.
Wow,
do I get the secret line in the back room?
Yes, you do.
The bat phone.
Yes, you do, baby.
Yes, please.
Okay.
With these luscious
lips and everything, too. So.
Okay, I have a question about what we just did. Did we talk about Trinity Kid Cares?
Yes, we did. We started, yeah.
Did we finish that?
Yes.
I felt like they...
Yeah.
Okay, I wanted to make sure that okay. got...
Yeah.
Well, no, it's a wonderful organization, the hospice, that it helps
kids and their families that maybe need some help. So you could do anything, like even awesome. Just go read. You can, you know, look into it if you have some time to volunteer.
Awesome. Trinity Kid Cares. That's awesome. Is that a .com? TrinityKidsCares.com?
Just look up Trinity Kid Care. Yeah, just look up that
on. Cool. And Tito, we want to set up an appointment with you. So is it possible for us to get your number through Kelly later on?
Absolutely. No problem. Ed.
Okay. We would love to sit down with you. And I can't, if I remember correctly, are you still living in Southern California here in Long Beach?
Yeah, sure am. I moved to Florida for a bit, but now I'm back.
Okay. Because we are in Cyprus.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, so we're just a hop, skip, and a jump. So we would love to have you come in the room, and just to let you know, all of us are free from the COVID-19 thing, too, and everything.
So far.
So, yeah.
So far, so good, you guys.
I've
right
been going on some dates,
yeah,
so we'll see.
Yeah, so we'd love to have you in the room, man.
I just have the dipshit disease.
Yeah, if I ever come over, I need to see the swabs, okay?
Oh, absolutely.
The swabs or the test results?
I need to see him, man. Not that I can do anything with it. I just want to look, man.
Oh, okay.
Oh boy.
Oh, Tito. Well, Tito, Kelly, thank you for calling Tito. I really appreciate that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tito, for calling me. It didn't mean calling Tito, but
yeah,
Tito,
because it was
Tito
perfect timing.
That's funny.
And I know my wife had given me a note earlier. There were a number of Mark and Brian listeners from the 25-year Facebook page who were listening today. And they were blown away by hearing from you, Tito, because it's been so long. So they definitely want to have you come in the room, or at least on the phone with us also at some point later in time.
Oh, right on, man. I love you guys. I love everybody over there, man. You guys are a big part of my life, man.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And both of you guys, take care. And again, thank you so much for being on our program.
Kelly, it was great to hear all your stories.
Yeah. And Kelly.
Awesome. Oh, Amber, keep representing us, okay?
I'm a lesbian. I don't give two shits about dudes a lot. I don't care.
And Kelly, yeah. I had a crush on you when I was a kid. Just
oh,
so
oh, oh, boy. Had it the kid part, but okay. Well,
I'm 34 now, so.
Oh,
it's fine.
I'll take anything. Trust me. I'll take anything.
Well, in that case, wait a minute.
Oh my gosh.
I get called ma'am way too much. Yes, ma'am. I'm like, no.
Awesome.
All right. Well, both of you guys take care, and we'll have you guys back on soon. And again, call in anytime, Kelly.
Okay, thank you.
It was a lot of fun, you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tito. Take care of yourself, brother, and we'll talk to you soon. Yes, the interview with Kelly Gates and Tito Buenavides from Mark and Brian radio program. What fun that was, huh? Boy, oh boy. All righty, guys. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show, today's past moments, actually. And welcome in to 2021. Here we go. Don't forget, guys, our show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, you can find us on Your Weekly Dose. Our Twitter and Instagram is at yourweeklydose1. All of us will be back in the room next week. We hope you join us because it is our 200th show. So we got a lot of cool things happening for that. We hope you join us for it. And, of course, come this February, it will also be our four-year anniversary, which means that we will be starting year five. I can't believe it that we've been doing it this long. It's just been an amazing, amazing ride for all of us. In the meantime, guys, take good care of each other. Please be safe. And we will catch you next week. Be good to each other. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.